Wow, a year ago today, where were we a year ago today? We were down, you know, close to 20%. The markets were
you're
falling
doing this.
Apart.
You're doing exactly what Tom Keene does
exactly.
every day because he's not here, so you're doing it.
I know,
it instead.
So I am doing it. And what a difference a year makes. A year ago, our next guest came in, Peter Kenny, founder of the Strategic Board Solutions and Kenny & Company. He was in this studio a year ago saying, things aren't so bad. Let's get constructive. Peter Kenny, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Where do you stand now? You were super right.
Thank you.
What do we do now, do you think?
You know, it's been a great year. I kind of expected this, but pretty much more or less to the point on the S&P 500. I'm still very constructive, believe it or not, in spite of the fact that we've just seen a 28% gain for the S&P 500 this year, 2019, I'm still constructive, but much more modestly so. So instead of the 28% that we saw this year, I'm looking at maybe between 6 and 9% next year, may get us to 3,500 by the end of the year. The reason why I'm still constructive in spite of the fact that we've seen a 28% gain is because we have very low interest rates, great economic data, clear signs of re-engagement in terms of growth in the U.S. economy, great news on the trade front, and consumer sentiment, income, employment. This stuff is just super, super strong. And I think that we're going to continue to see that, the tide lift.
All right, Peter, there's a difference between 6 to 9% returns that steadily get developed over the year. Mm. That seems to be different than what people think is going to happen, mm-hmm. where it's going to be front-loaded in the front half of the year, mm-hmm. and then the back half is going to be kind of rough based on political uncertainty. Yep. Would you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
So in the first half of the year, what kind of returns can people expect?
I think by the end of the second quarter, I think you can look at maybe 7 to 9%. But it is definitely going to be much more choppy than we saw this year.
Even in the first half.
Even in the first half. And I would suggest that the volatility that we see peak next year will be in the first half.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. First of all, the CBOE options are suggesting that there's complacency in the market.
Yeah, and pretty much everything else is suggesting that as well.
And the VIX. If you look at the VIX with a 12 handle, there's complacency in the market. When you see those two indicators at the depressed levels that they're at, it's almost a near certainty that something is going to disrupt that calmness in the market. And I think that that's likely to happen somewhere Q1, Q2. Now, I'm still constructive on the year, but I do think we're going to start seeing some volatility. It's just we just had too long a period without it.
So is how much of your 6 to 9% kind of return scenario for 2020 predicated upon a very benign Fed?
Oh, big part of that. Great. Okay. Yes. That's a huge part of this because, you know, we're heading into an election year. And we all know that the Fed historically in an election year tends not to be active in the market in terms of shifting policy. Now, the Fed
Lisa already told me, I was suggesting maybe we could have a rate increase if the data. Lisa, quote unquote, rejected that assertion.
She's right. She's absolutely right. Now, we're going to continue to see the Fed add liquidity. Because, you know, we have the repo conversation.
Okay.
But that said, I don't think we're going to see much in the way of rates.
You reject that as well.
Yes.
I mean, it just seems implausible to me. They are so shell-shocked by what happened last year in December that there's no way that they're going to do that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the question is, are we going to actually see inflation pick up?
I think we may see a degree of inflation. And the reason why I say only a degree in spite of what we saw today in the data is because the global economy is not going to allow inflation to really rise above where we're seeing it right now.
Okay, but then 2%. How much inflation do we need to see before it disrupts the sort of complacency that we see around no inflation and that's being priced into markets?
I don't think that inflation is going to be the driver of what upsets the complacency.
Okay.
I just don't see it. You know, we're seeing great...
He rejects that.
Yes.
great employment numbers, great confidence, and great income gains. And we're seeing that in really healthy spending, but we're not seeing it filter through to the economy in terms of making things more expensive, with the exception of some real estate, some pockets, of course. But that's been a theme that we've been dealing with for now for 3, 4, 5 years.
We've seen in 2019 and this grind up in the market... Yeah. You know, periods during the year when people were saying, I got to go defensive, and then we'd see people going back into more cyclicals or maybe even the growth stocks.
Yeah.
How do you think the 2020 will be in terms of, do I take a little bit more risk with my portfolio, or do I get a little bit more defensive?
Well, I think that people who've been around for any period of time at all are, and I was with a couple of pretty significant individuals last night in terms of the markets. The sense is that, listen, if I'm putting the money to work in the market right now, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. Why? Because of the run-up we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, so I think if people are looking at their overall portfolio, they're going to look at a more defensive posture that's going to be fueled by policy. In other words, a degree of certainty that the markets might not otherwise provide. And I'm speaking specifically of infrastructure.
Okay. What do you think will be the worst performing asset class of 2020? What's the big loser?
I think it's going to be utilities.
Interesting.
I think it's going to be utilities. And the primary reason I say that is because with utilities, pricing is largely baked in. There's very little alpha out there that you can harvest that is going to be priced into a market where there's going to be a lot of liquidity and there's going to be a lot of money sloshing around in the market. It's not going to be looking for dividends.
Right. Well, so on the flip side, what's going to be the absolute best performing asset class?
I love infrastructure for 2020.
Okay.
Love heavy construction. I continue to be very, very engaged in the real estate space. I think
really?
It's, yeah. In spite of the fact that we're seeing pockets, I think it's you're seeing pockets of over, I would suggest, inflation in some real estate markets. But I think that's also fueling a wider growth in real estate demand and exposure in terms of investment. So secondary and tertiary markets are seeing real benefit now.
You think we're actually going to get a trade deal that's actually on paper that somebody can see, or are we just going to get tweets?
We're going to get a trade deal, and it's going to be a significant tailwind to the global narrative. And that's the thing. It's really how the globe looks at what the opportunity is in trade again.
Yeah, narrative is the key operative. It's not clear what that will do. But the narrative matters because it matters for business confidence.
We saw it in the fourth quarter last year. It really mattered on the flip side. Yeah,
narrative, terrible, then narrative, wonderful. Now we're narrative, pretty good. Peter Kenny, thank you so much for being with us. Peter Kenny, founder and Strategic Board Solutions, founder of Strategic Board Solutions, joining us here in our Interactive Broker Studios.